The views and opinions expressed by any hosts or guests of WJMS Radio do not reflect the beliefs of its owners or associates. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to WJMS Radio or the show hosts whose words, advice, and or opinions appear from or on our website or on air.
Tag, we out here, my whole team pulling all-nighters. Studio, pen and pad, one engineer, no ghostwriters. You know me, two thumbs, big smile, clean lay, big frames, got gang, special specs, that's crazy. So like snapbacks, my backpack, put cash back in my backpack, and more. Swag kind of drip from the boys, decor, never seen this in the stores, boy. Let me tell you, to be me is a task, but I'm sucker free in this rat race, and I make it look like a blast. Pray to God, I hope this pass, came a long way from my past, but my cosmic net's so filled up, I gotta be nice to talk trash. Pinky finger, evil laugh, scheming why they dreaming, knowing that purple cloud this evening, so every picture they catch me cheesing, so I say swerve, cause that's my word, cause I think I'm seeing in 3D, like I don't know where I am, so I'm wavy till they see me. Please don't adjust your TV, just check the volume and turn up, spit so gasoline, so every track bound to get burned up. In my zone, catch me in my zone, yeah, I'm in my zone, yeah, you can catch me in my zone, I'm in my zone, catch me in my zone, yeah, I'm in my zone, yeah, you can catch me in my zone, I'm in my zone, I'm in my zone, I'm in my zone, 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 I'm in my zone.
Well. Hello, Internet. Philly, Jersey, Delaware, World Wide Web, Hogwarts, Wakanda, London. Everybody in the earshot of your boy. What's good? January 9th, another Wednesday. We out here Wednesday. WJMS Big Smiles Events presents the We Out Here radio show. I'm your host with the most, Tommy Two Thumbs, a.k.a. the Bull with the Locks and the Specs. My favorite co-host, just jammed. Love, what's good? How you feeling?
Man, I'm ready to get right into this rant today, man. I had a new rant now.
Man.
Listen.
I'm nervous.
You're nervous? Why are you nervous?
I'm nervous. For the first time in the history of the life of Tommy M.S. Fire, I am nervous. I've never been nervous before in my life. Never for performance. Never for anything. And this is the first show in the history of this show that I've been nervous about a topic. I'm extremely nervous. I'm like jittery. My fingers are shaking. I'm nervous.
Your fingers are shaking? Really?
My fingers, my hands are shaking. I'm tingling. I'm nervous.
You're dramatic. You're being dramatic. Very dramatic right now.
As is the internet.
Yeah, it is. So, anywho, special shout out to our sponsor for this evening, WJMS and We Out Here Radio, sponsored by Trendy Trippin. Make sure you check them out. They are on social media at Trendy Trippin on Instagram, and they're also on at www.trendytrippin.com. They are a Brooklyn, yeah, man. They're a Brooklyn Commons collective. They showcase all the cool things that Brooklyn has to offer. So if you're in the Brooklyn area or in the greater New York City area, make sure you check them out. For those that don't know, the Brooklyn Commons is an awesome co-working space where you can bring whatever you got creativity wise and they've got something to match you and somebody for you to network with. So make sure you check them out. Trendy Trippin is a really dope collective of people. I have a very good friend of mine named Joanne who I've been dealing with is absolutely wonderful. So make sure you get in touch with her. Again, her Instagram is at Trendy Trippin and she is a wealth of knowledge for all things Brooklyn. So check her out. If you're trying to host events in there, if you're trying to, you know, rent out an office space, you're good. T, what are you doing? You sound like you're swimming in the ocean here. Like, be quiet.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're loud.
I ain't moved. I ain't did nothing. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, all right.
let me check my mic because I ain't moved.
Okay. Yeah, check your mic because I'm like, bro. So anywho, for those that don't know or those who've been living under a rock, yeah, Lifetime revealed this series called Surviving R. Kelly this past week. And it was a 6-part miniseries. But before we get into that, we're going to talk all about it. I know we are late. We're going to be a little late tonight. So hopefully you guys got your nap in earlier. We're going to go for the full hour. Even though we started at 9:40, we're going to go probably till 10:40 or whatever we need to do. But we're going to go into our rant. You know, we like to start our days with our rants. I would like to say the phone lines are open. I was very excited. Let me tell you my rant first. So first and foremost, I accidentally brought my laptop to work today because I thought I had an interview at 7 o'clock tonight. So I was like, okay, let me bring my laptop so I can make sure I got all the, you know, everything ready, because it's like a Skype type interview thing or whatever. And I got the whole date wrong. So I brought my laptop to work for nothing. But while I was there, I was like, you know what? Let me try to troubleshoot, because I figured out what the issue is. So it's not me. It's not anything that I'm doing. It's Skype. So I looked online, and apparently Skype has now upgraded or updated their software or whatever, and it no longer includes the ability to merge phone calls into one. So if I'm talking to Tommy on the phone and I get another phone call from a caller, I can't talk to that caller without putting Tommy on hold, which means he can't be in the conversation, which is annoying, obviously, when you're trying to have a radio show. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to figure out what other VOIP, that's voice over internet protocols, work with Sam Broadcaster so I can get this done, right? So I was like, all right, let me try Google Voice. I was at work. I was able to do it. I got Google Voice working perfectly fine at my job. I got home, reconnected the computer, and now it won't work. So I got Tommy on the phone. I got his audio. Everything's crystal clear. We sound great, but I can't seem to get the callers to work. So all I'm getting from everybody is voicemails or missed calls, and the phone is not ringing. And I've been playing with it for like 30 minutes, and I'm frustrated and I'm aggravated, because it just seems like every time I try to be great, technology is like, nah, girl, have several seats. And it's really aggravating. It's really frustrating. This wasn't even my original rant. I had a whole nother rant to go on, but I'm not even going to do it tonight, because my rant tonight is the frustration of internet radio software. Somebody's got to do better, because this is ridiculous. Or somebody's got to help me. Like, any techies out there that know, by all means, I welcome you to flood my DMs, because I have tried literally everything. And it's a pain in the butt. So feel free to inbox me. I now give y'all permission to slide in the DMs, only for technology purposes. Please don't slide in my DMs on some stupid stuff. But anyway, like, that's my anger for today. Like, I'm really aggravated because I was ready. I was prepped. I was like, I figured this out. Now I get here. I got T on the phone. I can't get nobody else on the phone. So while I'd like to say the phone lines are open, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I mean, I feel like you can try. You could definitely try. The phone number is 914. Yeah, it's all good. But I mean, the phone number is 914-505-7647. That's new. It's a new number. So don't try calling the Skype number, because that one's not working. But it's 914-505-7647. So give it a try. And if you can get in, then you can get in. I will gladly answer your call. But for some reason, it just keeps on giving me voicemails and telling me that I miss calls, but it's not ringing on my end. So whatever. If you're watching or you're listening online, you can definitely check me out on Facebook. I'm streaming live. I will try to read your comments as we go through the conversation. I really, really appreciate everybody who does chime in. So please feel free to communicate, tweet us, text us, whatever. You can text me. I'm cool with that. But yeah, I'm really trying with these phone lines, y'all, and the struggle is absolutely real, and I'm really aggravated. So I don't want to talk about it no more.
Yes, T? Guys, check the live stream. Slide it out. You can slide it out DM for tonight. It's fine. Add your 2 cents. Say your comments. Leave voicemails. Whatever case may be. We'll try to get to as many of you guys as possible, because we know that this is a hot topic, and we know that people are going to want to chime in, and we know that we may or may not have unpopular opinions that people want to chime in.
I don't care if my opinion's unpopular. Like, I don't even care.
I care. This is a touchy subject. This is what other topic that we had that was like this that had like crazy people divided. I think it had something to do with Kanye, or it might have been like the Trump thing. But like, we have every now and then we have one of these crazy, crazy, crazy topics that like people are like, "What? Are you serious?" And then you got other people on the other side. It's like, no, it's this. I can't believe you think it another way. I'm like, you know, I that's why I'm so nervous, because I'm like, man, like, I've purposely been, like, kind of debating people all week, but not debating all week, like, saying little stuff without saying anything, because I feel like this is one of those conversations where you have to have, like, a full-blown conversation and actually listen to someone's opinion before you just think, oh, well, you're thinking this way, you're going in this direction, and completely dismiss everything they're saying. That's just a lot. But that's what's been happening on social media. I guess that goes into my rant. That's let me do my rant since you did your rant real quick. So my rant this week is pretty much people not knowing how to have a healthy debate. Like if you have a difference in opinion than I, or a difference in opinion of somebody else, or whatever the case may be, that is completely fine. We are two completely different people. We have two completely different experiences in life. We've gone through different things. Even if they're similar, I've gone through it differently than you went through it. How it affects you is different. All that stuff is different. So people walk around in life with differences in opinions about things. And it's all based off perception. Some things are fact, and it's just fact, and this is just what it is. And some things are perception. I look at this and I see this. You look at that and you see this. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. The problem comes when I have an opinion about something, and because you disagree with my opinion, you completely disregard me as a person, or you disregard my opinion. And in some cases, you could be wrong. But because you have decided that you're just not going to listen to this messenger because of who they are, or how they approached it, or how they explained themselves, or the fact that you're being closed-minded to however they feel, it starts a whole argument or a whole miscommunication or a whole disconnect. Now you created this opinion about this person, and it's not even true. Or, you know, like, it's just, that bothers me. Like, it's okay for us to have a difference in opinion, and we can still be friends. Like, we can still be friends. We can still hang out. We can still talk about things. We just can't talk about this subject because we disagree. It's completely okay to disagree. And I feel like that is a, it's not just a generational thing, but I really feel like this generation plays a major part in that. That this youth, this generation of people that are coming in of age right now can't seem to deal with if someone doesn't agree or feel the way that they feel about something. Like, that's ridiculous. We can still, we have to coexist being different. That's how the world works.
Yeah, it's true. I agree.
But that's, you know, that's my rant. The fact that not even just myself, but like, I know there are people who were afraid to post or answer or reply or comment or say how they felt about this subject out of fear of being ridiculed by someone else who feels super strong about the subject. Like, I've had people like inadvertently cuss me out and think they cussing me out with facts about this situation. And I'm not trying to say that I'm the biggest researcher on the planet, but I don't open my mouth until I've learned enough about it, or at least I feel like I've learned enough about it to speak on it. So if you're approaching me, trust me, you're approaching me with somebody that got their stuff together. Shout out to my brother, Mubarak. He has made me this kind of person to where I cross my T's and dot my I's before I open my mouth. So prepare yourself before you talk to me, because trust me, I'm prepared to talk to you. But yeah. That's my rant. Okay. And that rant is for this whole show. If you disagree with me, that's fine. I'm open to hear your opinion.
Okay, so that's our disclaimer for the evening. I mean, all we ask is that you be respectful, because at the end of the day, everybody has a different opinion. Everybody has different ideas about, you know, what's going on and what's happening and why. So, I mean, you're not going to agree with everybody, but you can be respectful about it. So T's right. Like, if you have an opinion that differs from everybody else, don't, you know, call up or tweet up or text up on some craziness. Just, you know, accept that your opinion is different from other people's, and respectfully try to let folks know why you have the opinion that you have. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think, in my opinion. But I know for a fact that some of the things we're going to say tonight is probably going to make some people angry. I mean, I'm not in a position to care. Like, it is what it is. Like, that's my opinion. That's how I feel about it. And honestly, this is not, like, that's the thing. It's not like this is a brand new drama. Like, it's like, oh my God, R. Kelly, we're so surprised. We've been making fun of and talking about R. Kelly since I was a kid. Like, this is not new. This is not new news. Hello. Like, this is old, almost old news, you know? Like,
bro,
so
it's I just downloaded the tape on LimeWire. You know how old LimeWire is?
Oh my God. Disclaimer.
Like, disclaimer.
Super disclaimer. I have not watched any R. Kelly sex tape. I'm sorry. I didn't watch the Ray J sex tape. I ain't watched no Kim Kardashian sex tapes. I haven't watched any sex tapes. So
what?
I didn't watch him pee on no little girl. I'm not watching none of that. Like, what do I need to watch this for? Like, I mean, yeah, it's pop culture, but like, I don't want to. And I don't want to search that in my computer browser and have all that stuff there. Like, someone like gets my computer someday. They're like, oh, she was looking at R. Kelly porn. Like, nah, not me. So I ain't watched it. I never watched any of them. So
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Disclaimer to myself. So, yeah, I saw the tape, but it was 16 years ago. Okay? I was definitely an underage teenager. And awkward. I had no idea what I was looking at.
You know, knew what you was looking
at. It was a hot thing at the time. LimeWire was available. Everybody and their mom was trying to download that tape or try to find the bootleg version of it. Like, that's just what that is. And say what you want, but I am a hip-hop head, I am a radio show host, and I always stay in the know. So I've seen the Kim Kardashian tape, I've seen the Paris Hilton tape, I've seen the Mimi Falk tape, I've seen Hoops, I saw her tape, I've seen any majority, not even majority, I've probably seen all of these little celebrity sex tapes that came out and had discussions about each and every one of them. Judge your mother.
I mean, listen, like... It is what it is. Like, I mean, I ain't judging nobody. If you watched it, you watched it. That's what's up. But, you know, I wasn't about to watch it. Like, I'm sorry. It wasn't going to happen.
And as a person who's seen it, that's him.
That's him. So let's dive into it. My first thing was this. The first thing that made me angry was that this was 6 parts. Like, that's what pissed me off. I was like, all right, I'm going to just sit down and watch this R. Kelly thing real quick. This, like, you know, 1 hour Lifetime special. And I turned my TV on and went to On Demand. And it was like season 1, episode 1 through 6. I was like, bro, like. How is this a whole season and 6 episodes? This is crazy. Like, how, Sway? How is there 6 episodes to this? This doesn't make any sense. Like, how did we get this far?
I like how they mapped it out, though.
Huh?
I like how they mapped it out.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, they did. But the fact that there was enough to have 6 chapters is ridiculous. Like, come on, man. Like, that's what makes me angry. And what I kept on saying this is what I kept saying while I was watching the entire thing. I'm really, really disappointed in my sex and race. Like, I really am. I'm just like, every single time this dude gets in trouble for some random broad, and all of a sudden, there's another girl. Like, it's like, he's just pulling shit. I'm like, how does he keep pulling these women? Like, no man is that smooth. I'm sorry. Like, look. I'd be like, who's that? R. Kelly? I'm all set. Like, I've seen this, I've seen that, I'm all set. Like, come on, man. I don't care how famous you are. Like, there is no amount of money or no amount of fame that, like, could make me disregard an entire decade of you doing crazy stuff to women. And it's like, it's just like when you see men out on the street who have, like, you know, 8 or 9 kids with 7 to 10 baby mamas. And you're like, baby mama 8 and 9. What was you really thinking? You know what I mean? Like, I can be the one to change him.
Hard fact. Like, brother must have had some serious game for you to be baby.
That's what I'm saying.
Did you not know about baby mama 1 through 8? Or, like...
Oh, he got 8 kids, but he gonna change. I'm gonna be the 9th baby mama, and he gonna change. No, and, like, that's what all these broads look like messing with R. Kelly. Like, oh, well, you know, he makes hits and this, that, and the third. I'm like, no, you're all wrong. So this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna break down my opinion of this whole situation, and then, T, I'm gonna open it up for you to break down your opinion of this whole situation.
Wait, hold up. Let's say this at the beginning of this stuff.
What?
Let's be clear that we are separating these topics. We are in no way, shape, or form, and I think we can agree on this, Jay, in no way, shape, or form are we justifying sexual...
you broke up. Say again. yes. I 100% agree.
I'm not justifying it's okay to rape. I'm not justifying these women shouldn't have been dressed like that. We're not doing that. These are two separate things.
That's not what we're about to talk about.
These adult women that he's dealing with and this quote-unquote cult and the alleged young girls he dealt with. I don't even want to touch on that. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's wrong. Dealing with those young women is no way to try to shape it, no way to try to fix it. And if you want to point the finger or talk about anybody, we could talk about the parents all night.
I agree.
That's that. And we'll move on to that in the show.
Yeah.
And later on the show. But I think we'll start out and talk about this cult or these older women.
I'm gonna hit it from every single angle. I'm gonna hit every single fact that I had for this whole entire thing as I'm watching it. So first of all, 6 episodes is effing disturbing. Like, the fact that there are 6 episodes of this lets me know clearly somebody dropped a ball. So, several people dropped a ball. Watching it made me disgusted. The first episode alone, I was like, yo, this bro. Like, and it was, the first episode was like Aaliyah. And, you know, when that happened, Aaliyah died when I was like 14 or something. Like, I was a teenager, I think, when she died. Maybe 15, I don't know. I was in the teenager dumb times. And I remember being at my grandparents' house when I found out that her plane had crashed and she had passed away. And I was really upset about it. But I also vaguely remember the R. Kelly Aaliyah marriage and being like, that seems weird. You know what I mean? But I was young. I was a teenager. I didn't really care. Like, I wasn't really thinking about it. Like, as an adult, now I'm like, that's disgusting. And you, number one, you forged and changed her age. Number two, you married this girl when she's 15 years old. Number three, in the entire documentary, they talked about how she felt uncomfortable and she looked worried. And it's like, what? Like, that right there, red flag on the field. And I got pissed off when I watched that first episode because I felt like everybody in that camp failed her. And watching this documentary pissed me off because I'm watching all these people up there really upset and crying and, oh my God, I'm so distraught and this, that, and third. I'm like, you enabled him. You allowed him to do this. Like,
right,
you,
like the one guy, his tour manager, the one guy that actually like took them and forged the documents and did all that. Like, he was like, dude, like,
you enabled
it. You're telling us like, yeah, I thought it was inappropriate, but I kind of didn't do nothing about it. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
that's what made me angry. In my opinion, everybody in R. Kelly's camp is just as guilty of everything that he did as he is because they all knew it was going down. He sent all his tour managers, all his boys, all his people to go get girls, and they would do just that. And they would go and get him young girls because they knew his type. They would go and get him young girls, bring them back, and communicate for him. Yeah, R. Kelly wants to talk to you. Yeah, R. Kelly said he wants you to come back to the room. Yeah, R. Kelly wants me to give you his phone number. You're all guilty. In my opinion, you're all guilty. You sitting up here on this documentary crying and boo-hooing, talking about how sad it is and how this, that, and the third. You're all guilty. You sat there and let this man do it. Not only did you let them do it, you helped him do it. You know, like, so that's what pissed me off. And the women, too. The women were just as bad. You know, like the one scene where she's like talking about how they're on the tour bus and they all have their bunk beds or whatever, and they're all just busting it up, having a good time. And like they're talking about how all of a sudden the door on the bus swung open and R. Kelly was in there having sex with Aaliyah at age 15. And he was like, I don't know, I feel like he was at least 30. Like, you know, he was 27. He was 27.
Like 27.
And nobody got up out their chair. Nobody got up out their bed and said, yo, bro, what are you doing? Nobody did anything. They let that slide.
Nothing.
They let
nobody
it slide.
Called her parents.
Nobody did nothing. You know what I mean?
Just,
like,
oh, we wait 30 years later and talk about her on the documentary. She's been dead for years now.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And I know, like, and then the other thing that was baffling to me was I just didn't remember. Again, because I was young and I wasn't really paying attention to the details of it, I didn't remember, like, the divorce part of it. Like, I guess they got annulled, like, a couple months later. But I didn't remember that. Like, I don't remember any of that, to be honest with you. Like, I just, maybe I forgot, maybe I wasn't aware, whatever. But, like, it, you know, it just, that right there pissed me off. And every episode that I watched, I got more and more pissed off at everybody who sat up there crying and moaning, talking about, oh, it's so awful and it's so horrible. You know, and then don't even get me started on Sparkle. Like, we gonna go all the way in on Sparkle tonight. But everybody everybody who sat up there and started crying, talking about how sad it was and terrible it was, I'm like, y'all all just as guilty as he is. Like, look at you. You knew the fact that you could sit in this documentary and tell us what went down lets us know you knew what went down. You were there. You witnessed it. You helped.
And everybody said the same thing.
Yeah.
They were like, this happened and I thought it was kind of weird. But
didn't do anything about it.
Like, but what?
Yeah.
You thought it was kind of weird, but then you just didn't do anything about it. Like, you thought it was kind of fishy, but you didn't say anything. Like, what? Like, I just
And then it was like
four, I think I posted it, but like episode 4 changed everything for me.
What was episode like, 4? Which one was that? That's ridiculous.
Episode 4
ask.
Was the one where they transitioned from. Right after he was convicted, right after, you know, all of that stuff. And then it went into when the rumors and stuff started about the cults and the young girls.
Okay, yeah.
I think episode 4 is when we were introduced to the 33-year-old Kiki.
Yeah.
The one that's the radio show host.
Yep. Oh, she got on my whole nerve. Like, you a whole grown woman and you fell for this. Like, and that's the thing. So here's the thing. Like, I remember at the beginning of this documentary, they talked about how R. Kelly got molested when he was younger and so on and so forth, almost as if they say, and they tell us this to pity him. And I mean, okay, yes, I feel bad. I don't ever wish anybody in the world to be molested. Nobody deserves that at all, ever. So don't think that's what I'm trying to say. However, being a victim does not give you the reason or the excuse to make yourself a victim or make other people victims or to victimize other people. Like, just because you were molested, it doesn't mean that you need to molest other people. It's not an eye for eye. You know, life is about how you deal with the situations you're dealt. And that wasn't the right way to do it. You know, like, and all the people in his camp that knew that something was wrong, and like the brothers happened to know that he got molested. And it's like, okay, so the brothers know you've been molested. They see you're now going down this path of liking young girls and hanging out around high schools to pick up young girls and sending them to get young girls. And still, nobody raises a red flag. Like, that's why I tell y'all people, friends are important. The people you surround yourself are so important. It's ridiculous. Like, all of y'all, they're all guilty in my eyes. I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody has to say. Y'all knew what was happening and you let it happen. Nobody stood up at all. Nobody said, all right, I'm out. Like, the only person who said, I think there was one girl at the end of the six episodes that I was like, the only person that had an ounce of common sense was, what's her face? Somebody Rogers, Destiny Rogers. Somebody.
The girl he gave herpes to.
Yeah, her. She was like, I'm out. Like, she came into the house, saw the girls, saw the way he was treating the girls, and the fact that he gave her an STD. And she was like, yeah, I'm all set. And she left. And I'm like, finally? Like, somebody with some common sense in this documentary. Everybody's like, oh, it's R. Kelly. It's R. Kelly. First of all. Like, that, I can't. I'm sorry. I'm going to let you talk, T, because I could go on all night talking about how stupid people can be and how ridiculous.
No, trust me. Listen, you ain't saying nothing that I'm not already getting ready to go on. Like, because it's just like, that. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, to say, like, oh, yeah, we met and we started dating and he's such a charmer. And, yeah, I knew about the scandals, but he got off, right? So I guess he's innocent. Like, what?
Like the, no. The justice system is like the end all be all. Like, the justice system don't put innocent people behind bars all the time and whatnot.
But then you have to look at his case, though. It wasn't like, oh, he, you know, he went to court. They found evidence and all this stuff that these girls was lying and he got off. No, they threw out evidence that they couldn't use.
Yeah.
They found tapes. They found photos. But they couldn't use them because of the justice system.
Oh,
their case got prolonged for 6 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's not like he just got off and he was just innocent. Like, no, there was a whole lot of stuff surrounding around this case that was very, very fishy, and he got off for it. Like, I look at this situation, and I kind of accredited to the same thing as like Michael Jackson. Like, Michael Jackson didn't have a childhood. He was raised, you know, in the industry, raised a certain kind of way. He didn't have a childhood, so once he became an adult, he acted as a child. He did what he would do as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Similar situation with R. Kelly. You know, whatever how his upbringing was, he was being molested, he's being whatever case may be. He got famous at a young age, and he's been famous for longer than he was not famous. You know what I'm saying? He was surrounded around yes men, surrounded around people who enabled his activities. The moment he got his deal, what did he do? He started hanging out at the high school. These are the people that he knows. These are the people that he's connected to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Doing these inappropriate things. And they're just allowing it, just letting it go. Okay, well, yeah, he's going to work with these artists before the I Believe I Can Fly, before the World's Greatest, before these inspirational songs. And he was still doing Your Body's Calling Me, when he was still doing Bumping and Rhyme, when he was still doing Seems Like You're Ready. You know, you have to understand that we're radio heads. So we know these songs went through several hands before they actually got to the radio.
Yeah.
There were no red flags? No, because they were green dollar signs.
No,
oh, this is
and people
money.
Talked about it. People were like, all of his songs related to people and episodes in his life. And I'm like, nobody saw a problem with that? Like,
like the lead single and the name of the album that he writes for a 15, 14-year-old girl is Age Ain't Nothing But a Number.
Yeah.
And the song is about
a girl trying to bag an older man.
Pursuing an older man. Like,
yeah.
No, like, we're not
doing
and
this.
Then, and like, to talk about Sparkle, and to talk about Sparkle real quick, right? In her interview portion, she was saying, you know, in the beginning, when she was coming to the studio and she was working with him, singing back up, doing, you know, all the different stuff, she would see the girls.
Yeah.
And she saw, like, oh, they couldn't speak or they couldn't raise their head. They couldn't say this. They couldn't do that. He saw how he treated them. So she would purposely speak to them to try to piss them off or to be smart or purposely do things. And her whole MO was, no, you're not going to do me like that. You're not going to treat me like this.
But and her MO like, wasn't let me help the girls that he is doing it to.
At all. Yeah. But that to me, like her attitude about it, her approach about it, like, oh, it's not going to happen to me. He's not going to do that to me. Like, that's what I see. And that's what I question. That's what I wonder with the older women. Why didn't they have, you know, where did that mindset come from? So, okay, fast forward. Sparkle had no problem continuing to work with him during this time period until her niece got involved.
And don't even get me started. Now she wants to be upset. Oh, I was so mad at her that whole episode. Like, you want to sit up here and cry and boohoo? Like, I should have never introduced you. I should have never brought my family in here. Girl, you knew what he was doing. You was there the whole time. You thought it was going to be different? You thought it was going to be different?
What did you think? From the first time you went to the studio, and you saw that your niece was there before you, that should have been it.
I'd have snatched her by her hair. Bring your ass, we out.
That should have been a wrap.
Yep.
Like, so, even the parents, like the parents of the girl was Azriel, I think that was her name. They took her to the concert. They went to the concert, took her to the concert.
Talking about, I'm here, so she should be safe.
Allow her to go backstage, the whole nine. The whole nine. Oh, because we're here. We're right here.
Clearly, you being there helped out a lot. It's like, you ain't doing nothing. Oh, my God.
And, like, and I liken the situation, you know, to, like, current events. Like, my child will never go to a Tekashi 6ix9ine concert.
Yeah.
I say that because, I bring up Tekashi because Tekashi was the one who went to jail, and even though he got off, he had a whole issue with sleeping with an underage girl. So regardless of how popular his music is, regardless of how much my child may love him, we're not going to a Tekashi 6ix9ine concert. Yeah. I'm not taking you. You're not going by yourself. You're definitely not getting on stage. You're not going backstage. Like, that's just, like, just certain things you just shouldn't be okay with as a parent.
Yeah.
And then you shouldn't be okay with it around someone who is, or may or may not be, a pedophile.
So here's my thing, too. And this is what pissed me off. I'm like, all right, so I'm not a parent. I want to be, but I'm not right now. And that being said, these parents talking about, we want to see our daughter. We ain't seen our daughter in 3 years. We know she's in this house. I'm sorry. If I haven't seen my child in however many years, and she's or is with R. Kelly in this house, I'm scaling the wall. I'm breaking down the door. I'm busting out the windows. You could call the police on me. Go ahead and put me in jail. Set up a GoFundMe. I bet you I make bail the next day. Like, I'm going to jail because I'm going in the house and I'm dragging my child out by their hair. Like, you could try to stop me if you want. I'm coming in there. Like, that's where my child is. You could try to stop me. I don't understand how these mothers and fathers are just sitting outside, like, throwing rocks at the window like it's Romeo and Juliet. Girl, like, I need you to go break down that front door. The police aren't helping? Okay, y'all can go then. I'm going to go do some illegal stuff because y'all ain't going to help me. You can arrest me if you want. Like I said, I'm making bail, and the bottom line is my daughter's back home. Like, I don't understand. I feel like, I mean, like I said, I'm not a parent, so, you know, I can't really put myself in those shoes. But I know me, if I was a parent, I would stop at nothing to get my child back. And I'm sorry, I don't mean, because that really sounds like I'm saying they're not doing enough. But I'm just saying, y'all ain't doing enough, because I'd have broke down the windows. I'd have been busted in that house a long time ago.
They not doing enough. I'm saying it. You don't have to. I'm saying it. They're not like, doing enough.
Y'all ain't doing enough. I'd have been broken the house.
Nowhere near enough. Nowhere near. Not at all. Nope. Yeah. You're not doing enough. Nope.
Like I said, set up a GoFundMe. I'll be out. To it.
From the rip, you agree to it. Agree to it. And you're going to say, oh, well, one of us always got to be there. And then with the situation with the sister and, like, oh, the sister couldn't find her or whatever the case may be, to the point where y'all had to fly out there. Y'all confronted them and it was like, oh, well, maybe she did overreact. Okay, the situation is
no.
No.
This is R. Kelly. Like,
you're coming home. It's a wrap.
I'm sorry. Oh, I ain't never seen. Screw that. You're going to have to work with another artist. Who did R. Kelly put on for real, though? Like, I feel like R. Kelly made some hits, but, like, is he really the big break for people? You know what I mean? Like, nah. But it's like, I've never seen a whole bunch of people, like, you would never see this in the jungle. You would never see a mother lion bring her, you know, cub. I don't know. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, you don't, if a lion is known to attack people, you don't, you know, bring your child around them thinking your child's going to be different. What, do you think your child's made out of veal and he's not interested in veal? No, like an animal is an animal regardless, and they're going to do what animals do. I don't care if he was acquitted. I don't care if he was suspected. I don't care if he even looks sketchy. When I was a kid, there was a dude up the street named Chester. My parents called him Chester the Molester, and I wasn't even allowed near his house. I don't know if that man was convicted of anything, but he didn't look right. And my parents were like, you don't never go to that man's house. You don't never go near him. And that's what happened. I never went near him. Like, I don't, this whole like, oh, well, he wasn't convicted, so maybe, nah. If there's even a suspicion that you're sleeping with teenage women, and I have a teenage daughter, why would I bring my teenage daughter around you, even if it's just a suspicion? Like, I'd rather err on the side of caution than not and have my child locked up in a cult. Like, this doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I don't understand.
At all. And then you had the one girl that he met when she was 16. And she was coming to his trial. Like, she was going, she was standing outside the courthouse at his trial.
At the trial! And then gets sucked into the cult and is like, oh my God, I got sucked in. Oh, I'm so upset. Girl, you sat at the trial. Like, I didn't believe the things that they were saying about him. Well, do you now? Like, is it obvious yet?
Okay, she's a child. And I'm not even going to begin to try to go into the argument of younger girls throwing themselves at older men, because we all know
we could get into that argument. Let's get in the argument.
We all know about the culture that we live in. I'm not saying that it's right for young girls to get taken advantage of in those situations, but it's definitely not right for those young girls to throw themselves at those older women, and they need their parents in their life to teach them right from wrong. But in that situation specifically, man, listen, with that situation specifically, there was no reason why that girl should have been consistently outside of that man's trial, hooking in school, going out there. Makes no sense. His trial wasn't happening after school hours, so it was obvious that she was out there hooking in school. Where was the truancy police? You got teenage girls and
why are teenagers allowed outside around the courthouse in the first place? Like,
hello.
Like, this guy's on trial for teenage child pornography and all this stuff, and like all these teenage girls, I'd be like, hey, everybody who looks like they're under 18, get your asses home. Like, you ain't allowed here. Keep it moving. Like, the amount of people that are just dumb in this situation is mind-boggling to me. Like, I don't even understand it. But I do need to disagree with you. I do need to fight with you a little bit.
And the thing that keeps saying is, it's R. Kelly. Oh, he,
so?
You know, was R. Kelly. It's, so what?
So?
Like, I grew up on R. Kelly's music, but I am not that starstruck over that man. And I'm thinking, well, maybe it's, I don't understand. That's why I approached it from the beginning. That's why I was so nervous. Because I'm like, well, maybe it's just something about the situation that I'm not understanding because I'm a man, you know, and I tried to talk to some of my female friends to try to get an understanding as to how is it that these women were being able to be taken advantage of. I can understand being weak. I can understand.
That's what it
you
is.
Know, having
he
little
preyed
something.
On them.
But you're praying, even if you're preying on these weak women, even though you're preying on these women with low self-esteem. And the show and the documentary, at least from what I gathered with it, all of them had signs. All of them had red flags. All of them had some kind of no before the situation got too deep that this is the direction that it was going in. Every last one of them. And instead of saying, you know what, let me back up. This ain't cool. They were like, oh, well, it's R. Kelly, so I guess it's okay.
No, it's
and
not.
I don't understand that. Like, and that's, you know, that's the credit to what we were talking about before, how we make these celebrities larger than life.
Yeah.
Like, oh, because they're a celebrity, you know, oh, they're just, I'll do anything for them. I just, oh, you know, I'll throw myself at them. And it's like, you can't really say that because I know for a fact, I know women, I know people who is like, oh yeah, I like his music, but if I was given the opportunity to sleep with him, I wouldn't do it. That's a little OD.
No.
Like, and it's like, as our culture, as a society, we have a hard time with separating the music from the people.
The
fact that a talent, not, this isn't just this larger than life figure. The music doesn't say what type of person this person is. You have no idea who he is. You just like his talent. Like, hello.
So I do want to get to some of the comments on Facebook, though. Donald checks in on Facebook. You mentioned something earlier, Donald, in conversation about why all of a sudden now people are coming out. And I'm going to tell you exactly why it's happening. Because of this Me Too movement. Like, there's been a lot of this stuff happening for a long, long time. And for a long time, women and men, because it's a men thing too, men haven't and women haven't had the opportunity to talk about it, because whenever they did, they would get torn apart. They would get torn down. Nobody would believe them. Like, it just was this, it was almost like a pointless battle, because you're like, it's you versus a beloved celebrity. Look at this, R. Kelly. Even while this man's on trial, you got people outside like, they just messing with you. Leave him alone. This is why people don't speak out, because even in the face of the truth, people are still like, y'all just messing with him, da 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 da, so on and so forth. So we're just now getting to a point in society where women and men are comfortable, or getting comfortable, talking about things that happened to them years ago, because now it's at a platform or it's at a place, a safe place where we can talk about it. So a lot of this stuff is coming up now because that's the culture that we're in. We're in the culture now of people righting the wrongs that happened, and we finally got the platform to do so. So now you're starting to see a lot of this stuff surface. Now, don't get me wrong, a lot of these chicks, like, really? You know, like, a lot of these chicks, I'm sorry, I don't feel sorry for you. Like, you've seen his pattern. You've seen this man go into the courtroom and do all this stuff. You watched the tape. I'm sure you watched the tape. And still you're like, well, it's R. Kelly. Like, okay, so you get what you deserve then, because you knew this man was an animal and you put yourself in his cage thinking that you were going to do something different. That's what you get. And yes, I know that's bad. And I kind of feel bad saying that, but I don't at the same time, because at some point you also have to take personal responsibility for yourself. Like, don't put yourself in situations like that. And yes, he shouldn't be an animal. He shouldn't be loose. He shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff either. I don't condone that. But I also say, take personal responsibility. Like, if I know, like I said, Chester the molester up the street, I'm not going to go trolleying past Chester the molester's house in a miniskirt. You're just not going to do it, because it's personal accountability. Like, you know what I mean? Somebody told you something was wrong with that guy. Somebody told you something was up with it. What did you do? You literally took yourself and put yourself in a situation to say, well, let me just test it and see what happens. And then you get surprised when it happens. It's like, that's dumb. But I do need to argue with you, T, because you said something that I'm like, nah, I disagree with that. So I'm gonna argue real quick.
Wait, hold on. Hold up. Before you disagree with me, shout out to, I think her name is Aneka. I can't pronounce
Neek.
It. Aneka Thompson.
My girl, Neek. What's up, Neek? I see you commenting.
She's saying R. Kelly is wrong, dead wrong, and been wrong. But the parents have some responsibility and be accountable for their kids, period.
Hell
and I'm so glad, I am so glad that there are women that are saying that, and I don't have to be a god to say that, because that's what I was so nervous about. Like, yes, he's wrong. He's absolutely wrong. He's a monster. He's the most disgusting person on the planet. But we
Where
have to take
parents?
Some responsibility for that. The parents have to take some responsibility for that. His camp has to take some responsibility for that. His managers have to take some responsibility for that. And these older women has to take some responsibility for that, period.
Yeah.
And go ahead, I'm sorry.
Exactly. Yeah, and Neek, I wasn't allowed to go nowhere either. My mom, like I said, my mom was like, Chester the Molester, up the street, don't go there. But like, so the argument I want to make with you, T, is you're talking about, you know, there's no reason why 14-year-old girls should be throwing themselves at grown men. My argument is there's no reason why a grown man should be interested in a 14-year-old girl. Like, I saw something online and I was like, facts, 100% facts. They were like, I don't care if I'm in a room and a 14-year-old girl is butt naked walking in the room. I'm not looking at her like that because she's a child. Like, there's just something that just, it doesn't connect there, and it's not supposed to connect for a reason. So regardless of how these women, these girls were acting, regardless of what they were doing, R. Kelly should have been a strong enough man to say, have several seats, or spank them, give them a belt. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what these girls needed. They needed
Absolutely.
A whooping or two.
Absolutely.
Like, they needed
I,
a whooping
I
or two. So there should be no reason why, even if the girls are throwing themselves at him, that he's feeling tempted in any way. They're 14 years old, 15 years old. And what cracked me up, I was cracking up like, wow. So he's after he gets out of court, he's in the interview with, what was it, Tom Joyner? He was in the interview with somebody and he was like, he hit him a nice soft, you know, right over home plate, like nice easy ball. Just say no. He's like, do you like teenage girls? R. Kelly says, well, like, what do you mean by teenage? Bro, like, no, sir.
Like, when you say teenage, what exactly do you mean?
All you had to say like, was yeah. no. That's all you had to do. Oh, my God. Like, what made me laugh even more was then he came out with this 19-minute-ass song talking about I Admit It. And I'm like having OJ flashbacks. Like, OJ was acquitted and then wrote the book, What If I Would Have Did It? What did Chris Rock write? He was like, what if you would have shut the hell up? Like, what about that? Like, oh my God. I was just like,
I said the exact same thing. I'm like, bro,
like, you're an idiot.
Huh?
You're a dummy.
Like, I admit it. that's, you know, you gaslighting, bro. Like, are you serious? And then, like, I felt bad because, like, if you listen to the song and you have any kind of I'm going to say any kind of heart, or you know anybody that's ever dealt with any kind of molestation situation or any depression or anything like that, you sympathize and you feel what he's saying. When he starts talking about, I can't read and write and I was molested and I got jerked by my deals.
I don't want to hear about that crap that you can't read and write.
You hear all that stuff, but at the same time,
you make so much
it
money.
Has this dark shadow over it. Like, bro, like, all right, yeah, all that stuff happened to you, right? But that's no justification for what you're doing. At all.
None.
Like,
zero.
None zero. At all. And it's like, it's weird, like, because I look at it like any man that's abusive to their wife or abusive to their girlfriend, you know what I'm saying? And in those situations, you know, there's love, there's emotion, she doesn't want to leave, she's afraid to leave, whatever the case may be. I'm not going to speak too much on it because, again, I'm a man. I can't really 100% say how someone's feeling in that situation. But what I'm not understanding, and I guess it's hard for me to get with these whole sex cult things got going on, is it's not one girl. It's not two girls. It's not three. It's 10, 20, 15, 30, maybe even 50. Who knows the amount of girls he has in his house or he has under his stable or whatever the case may be. Girl number, I don't know, let's say the random number, 43. You walk in there and see 42 girls. And they're just acting a little bit funny.
A little bit.
And you think, oh yeah, I want to be number 43.
Or the like, what the part that baffles me is like, it was literally Stockholm Syndrome, because at any point in time, they could have all walked out the door, which is like the one chick, she was like, yeah, I just packed my bag and I left. I'm like, what? Like. Like, are we serious? Like,
I can't understand it. Like, I can't understand
I'm
it. Like
so
the
annoyed.
One girl, when she was like, yeah, you know, my friend asked me, like, did you see the tape? And I was offended. Why?
Because that's my boyfriend. Like, I'm sorry, your boyfriend's a pedophile.
Queer,
my bad.
Question. You're dating this person like, who was alleged of having sex with a young girl. Did you see the tape? And then when you saw the tape, now you're upset. Like, hello? And then she's like, you know, I called him and I asked him about it. And then
he got angry and started hitting him.
And talking to me in a way that I've never heard him talking before. And then what happened? And then you went to him and told him I'm sorry. Like,
that I saw your tape and that I witnessed you're a pedophile.
Whoa.
Like, what?
Like, I can't understand that. I cannot understand that level of master manipulation. I can't. I can't.
So,
like, I can't.
Here's one thing that I will say. So, it's interesting because normally, I'm trying to put the right words to this. Normally, the scales of justice don't tip in our favor, ever. They're not geared for us. Like, the scales of justice aren't weighing us right. We don't usually get this. I have never seen a man scoop past justice so much in my entire life. Like, any other time, like, you know, any other black guy, jail, done. 100,000 years, back-to-back consecutive life sentences, done deal. We're finished. I have never seen a court literally just be like, we're going to postpone it. Oh, they're getting older. We'll just postpone it until they're grown women on the stand because the jury will be less sympathetic. Like, what? Is this the same justice system that killed mad black people all the time? Like, is this the same justice system that gives us dozens of years for something that, you know, our white counterparts or other counterparts get 3 months and then get out on good behavior? Like, are we serious right now? Like, it's just kind of ironic that it's like, of all people in the black community to be skirting justice, it's R. Kelly. Like, the scales never tip in our favor, and for some reason R. Kelly's tipping them. Like, I don't understand how that happens. Like, any other time they throw the book at us. Like,
they said it in the documentary, though, that, you know, because his music transcends cultures, because, you know, we connected memories to songs like I Believe I Could Fly, Step in the Name of Love. Black culture and the music industry, or whatever the case may be, whoever the masses is, just weren't quite ready to let R. Kelly go. Now, like, he ain't making good music no more.
He hasn't made good music in a long time.
He's aging horribly. So it's like, okay, now we're done with R. Kelly. Now we can throw him under the bus. But while he was still making amazing music, No. We're just gonna brush the stuff under the rug. We weren't quite ready to let it go. Like, when he got off, it was, oh yeah, well, we can forgive R. Kelly now. Like, but no, because we made it a part of the culture. They talked about the Dave Chappelle, you know, pee on you video.
Yeah.
And the fact that just peeing on you in general is a joke. Like, I know in the hood, like, who you think I am, R. Kelly?
Like, Golden Showers, that's what they call
it. It goes hand in hand with R. Kelly, and we just joke about it and keep it moving. Like, we all know who the Pied Piper is. And
yeah, that's the other thing.
When he called himself the Pied Piper, put on a black mask, and started playing the flute. Like, what? Like,
luring the children away.
Yeah,
like it's insane. It's insane to me. And you know what? And like, I do have a hard time. And we've had this conversation before because I have a hard time, you know, separating the man from the music. Look at Kanye. You know, you're like, Kanye is a musical genius. I'm like, Kanye is an idiot and I'm not listening to his music anymore. You know, and it's like the same thing with R. Kelly. You're like, but it's, you know, his music is not him. I'm like, no, it is. Like, if Hitler made a soundtrack, I probably wouldn't rock that either. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not comparing Kanye to Hitler. I'm just saying in general, like, just, you know, egregious in general.
That's what's killing me about people, though. And it's the same thing with Harvey Weinstein. Like, yeah. People are like, oh, I'm not going to listen to R. Kelly's music. Like, all right, you're not going to listen to R. Kelly's music, but are you not going to listen to You Are Not Alone by Michael Jackson?
Yeah, because then it's like, you got to separate everything. You can't
My Heart Will Always Go On by Celine Dion. Like, are you going to not listen to the song that he's connected to?
Yeah.
Not just the music he wrote, but the music he produced, the music he engineered. Like, it's so much stuff that he has his name on, you don't know. Like, with Harvey Weinstein, like, that thing came out, and people didn't say, okay, we're going to start boycotting Harvey Weinstein movies. Because you have no idea what movies he was even a part of.
Yeah, I was like, what did Harvey Weinstein do? I'm sorry,
What killed me about these people with on social media. It's like everybody wanted to be in the uproar and give their two cents and have something to say and boycott R. Kelly. But it's like, bro, we've known that R. Kelly was a pedophile for 30 years. Like,
but you know what, though? I will say this.
Came out, now you can be angry about it. Like,
I knew he was bad. You know what I mean? Like, we all knew R. Kelly was bad. That's not questionable. Like, everybody knew. And if you didn't think he was bad, you had suspicions that he was a little sketch. So I didn't realize it was this bad until I watched the documentary and I was like, oh, this is really bad. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't because like I said, a lot of this stuff, this has been going on for so long. This has been going on since we were young. You know what I mean? Like, we were teenagers. We didn't really care. We didn't know any better. It was good music. We were listening to it. So, like, we weren't paying attention to the behind the scenes. But I will say this, you know, regardless of how stupid some of the folks in the video sounded because of just the victim role they're playing when there should have been so much more accountability across the board by everybody, it was eye-opening. Like, I didn't realize how bad it was until I watched this. And I was like, oh, bro. Like, I didn't realize. I had no idea the magnitude of how depraved he really was until I watched this. So I will say, we knew, but I don't think we knew. You know what I mean? Like, and if you did know, and you continue listening to his music, then shame on you. But I'm like, I didn't know until now. And now I'm like, yeah, we can. All right. Like, we can. He's canceled. R. Kelly is canceled. Like, you're done.
Jay, like, be honest and admit it. Is it that, like, because it's like
both because I don't really mess with R. Kelly like that.
Like, but I'm gonna tell you, like, so there's like three facts of black culture that I feel like black people know but try not to talk about or like whatever. But the three, like, three hard body things that we know as black people, no matter how much we talk about them. Whitney Houston was on crack.
Yep.
OJ did it.
Allegedly. Disclaimer.
OJ did it. It's my opinion. But black folk, let's be real. Whitney Houston was on crack. OJ did it. And Tupac is dead.
Yeah.
Those are the three things.
The unwritten black laws.
The unwritten rules of black folk. Like, y'all can say what you want, but we know these things. And the fourth thing to add to that list, that was R. Kelly on that sex tape.
Oh, man.
So no matter how you swing it, no matter how you play it, no matter how you flip it around, we all knew back when the R. Kelly sex tape came out and he was on trial, regardless of how that trial came out, we knew that was him in the tape. He peed on an underage girl. We knew this.
So
now, 30 years later, why are we acting like this is new news?
Me Too movement. It's the Me Too movement. But I will say this to answer your question. I didn't know and I didn't really care. There's only really a few songs of R. Kelly's that I really mess with hard. And one of them is Home Alone, which was super old. You know, like, he's only got a select few songs, to be honest with you. So, like, I wasn't really, you know, grabbing all R. Kelly's discography and, like, really messing with him like that, to be honest. So I didn't, and I only heard, like, like I said, I didn't watch the tape. So I didn't see him peeing on the girl. I feel like Did I know she was underage or did I just know he peed on somebody? I don't even know like that I knew all of the details. I just knew R. Kelly was sketchy and he was like Chester the Molester and I should just stay away from him. And I basically just kind of distanced myself from R. Kelly in general. So like I didn't know no, but now I know no and I'm going to do better, better. So I'm not really worried about it. But the fact that you said OJ did it really just made me almost cry on air. I was cracking up. You're like, bro, OJ did it.
That's real talk though. Like that's real talk. Like, come on now. Like part of the reason why black people got so excited when Gulen came out is because we got one. Like, black people always are getting thrown under the jail. This is the one time something like this happened. But you know, but before we, you know, we run out of too much time, there's two topics around this that I want to make sure that we touch on, right? Mm-hmm. His wife, his ex-wife Andrea, and Hugh Hefner and Pimp Culture.
Okay. The microphone is yours.
So on Hugh Hefner and Pimp Culture, right? We have to understand that R. Kelly is from Chicago. Chicago, one of the biggest pimp capitals on the planet. So from birth, from his upbringing, his teenage years, the same way young guys grow up and look at the hustlers on the corner and aspire to be like them is the same way you look at the pimp and aspire to be like them. And again, not justifying and not saying it's right. But if we're going to point the finger at R. Kelly and call him disgusting and say that he's a horrible person, he's a monster, he needs to go to jail, when are we going to start looking at Magic Don Juan and the pimp Deuteronomy, whatever crazy names that we can come up with? Because being a pimp in our culture is either funny or...
A pimp named Slipback. Sorry.
Right.
You say it's like a Tribe Called Quest. You say the whole thing.
But we found that episode hilarious.
It was. It was funny. I'm sorry. The Boondocks was hilarious.
Wait. The funniest part about it was when the girl talked back to him and he started quoting the Bible before he slapped her.
Yeah, that was kind of messed up.
Like, we thought that was hilarious.
I didn't think it was hilarious. Now we're like, the fact that it was Cat Williams was hilarious.
Let my pimp hand be strong, Lord, so that I may teach a pimpin's place. We thought it was funny, okay? It's on memes. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And my thing is, we sit up there in this culture and we choose what we can laugh at, what's funny, what's okay to make fun of. Like, even now, people are screaming and hollering and going crazy with this R. Kelly thing, but there's memes that are coming out about it. I just saw one earlier with Cardi B, the picture they have, that was so wrong.
Oh my God,
like,
I see
oh,
that.
It's like, my mama said I've been home and I've been outside like pee. Like, that. Like, we're at the same time talking about how bad it is. We're promoting it like it's funny. And I've talked about this on the show before. That's one of the things that black people do. Like, we laugh at our pain. We try. That's how we deal with it without actually dealing with it. But, like, in another couple months, maybe in another couple weeks, this ain't going to be a popular topic on Facebook no more. This ain't going to be a popular topic on Instagram no more. So I'm wondering, all these people... For all these women that are going crazy on the web and talk about how much of a horrible person he is, how many of them are actually going to be a part of the Mute R. Kelly or the Me Too movement instead of just posting it on social media?
It's a good question.
Because for me, I know I work with a group of strong black women, child rising queens, who are promoting black women empowerment, ethnic women empowerment in general. Trying to create these strong, mentally strong individuals that are not weak-minded and cannot be manipulated so easily by R. Kelly and the R. Kellys of the world. Because it's not just him. He's just the famous one that we're talking about. Don't think he's the only man on the planet with a compound full of women and full of these young, weak-minded girls that he's accumulated and collected over time, and he's treating them inappropriately and doing all these inappropriate things. He ain't the only one.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to justify him. I'm not saying that to not point the finger at him. But he's a part of a larger culture. We sell sex. This is why he was able to go on for so long, because he sells good sex. Period. If we're not teaching our boys about boobs and butts and strip clubs and all this stuff being okay, how is it okay for us to say these women are scantily clad and dressed this way so we can treat them this way, but these women respect themselves and they're strong, so we're supposed to treat them this way? That's a ridiculous concept. And concepts like that is why we're in the culture and in the world that we're in today. We're not about to stop pimps. Porn is a billion-dollar industry. Escorts, billion-dollar industry. It's legal in some states.
Yeah.
So it's okay here, but it's wrong here. And I'm not talking about the young girl. I'm talking about these older women that he's met and was like, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, I want you to come live with me in Chicago. I got a house full of girls. And they're like, oh, I'm curious about that.
And the one chick said it was okay. He was like, you know, yeah, we're together, but you're not the only one. And there's a whole bunch of other women. And she's like, I was okay with that because I had been cheated on before. And so I was like, oh, like, my people, what are we doing? We got to be better. We got to do better. Please, Lord. Like, Jesus, take the wheel. I can't. Like, just because a dude's honest about being a dog doesn't mean it's charming.
It's blowing my mind. And like I said this on Facebook earlier this week, I said, yo, I'm not discussing, debating, having this conversation about R. Kelly with anyone who doesn't have a daughter. Because if you don't have a child, if you don't, not even a child, but a daughter, I have a daughter. So I look at my daughter and I know that I am responsible for her being on a stripper pole or being in an election pole, period. That is my responsibility. What I teach her, what she learns from me, what she sees me doing, the woman that I chose to be her mother, all of this, all of those stuff, all of those things are variable in how she's going to grow up, who she's going to be, and that's my fault if she goes off the wrong path. And that's not saying that I didn't do everything the best that I can, made the best decisions, any of that. I ain't trying to hear that. At the end of the day, the direction that your children go is based off the guidance that you give them or lack thereof. Period. And I'm telling you, as a father, if my daughter was in that situation, we wouldn't have been at the concert. So she wouldn't have been on stage to go backstage to get invited to fly nowhere.
Yep, exactly.
If she was at the mall by herself with her friends and he slipped her number, you ain't calling him. Or we have the type of relationship to where she's going to tell me. Or she's going to get the number and be like, oh, I don't want R. Kelly's number. I'm 16. I know what he's about.
Yep.
I was laughing at somebody earlier because, you know, this generation of kids know R. Kelly differently than we do. Like, my daughter has Space Jam on DVD. So she's probably heard the song, I believe I Could Fly, a couple times. She might know that song, but if she ever learns anything or sees anything about R. Kelly, that's the pee-pee man. You stay away from him.
It's the pee-pee man.
That's not a celebrity. That's not, you know what I'm saying? She has to understand that celebrities, singers, all these people that she's growing up looking at with, you know, the starry eyes, they just people, will. They're not larger than life. They're not somebody that's better than you just because they make more money. They're just people. Just that. Just plain and simple. And you a star just like them, and you can get to that level that they at. This is what you have to teach our kids so that as they're coming up, they're not looking at these celebrities like, oh, I have to do what you say because you're R. Kelly. Oh, you telling me to take my top off? Well, I guess I'll do it because you are R. Kelly. What?
Yeah.
Well, why do you want me to take that off? You know, I'm uncomfortable. I think I'm going to go. Scream, rape, don't touch me, whatever. You do whatever you got to do.
You over here preaching.
I'm just saying.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to tell you, it hurts. It hurts my feelings. Like, the fact, I'm serious. Like, yeah. It brings me to, like, tears that to even know that there are people like this in the world, for one, but we give them the opportunity to do these things. Like, we open the doors for them. We let them into our homes and allow them to come in and make changes.
So, like, let me ask you a question.
I posted the meme with, you know, when we was promoting this show, R. Kelly been a pedophile for 30 years. TV is just now telling you that you're supposed to hate him. Had this documentary came out around the time of Aaliyah or around the time of, you know, when he first was being convicted or whatever, he wouldn't have made it this far.
Yeah, it's true.
We wouldn't have looked at Trapped in the Closet. It wouldn't have been a World's Greatest or I Believe I Could Fly. Because we'd have been like, no, this dude is foul from the rip.
Yep, exactly.
Like, and that's the problem. That's the problem. We live in a culture where it's old. Like, look at Tekashi. I'm sorry to keep bringing up Tekashi 6ix9ine, but look at Tekashi 6ix9ine. Look at Bobby Smurda, right? Bobby Smurda had one of the hottest tracks of the summer because he was in jail.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Tekashi 6ix9ine, his entire album is talking about blunt burners, killing people, this hoe, that hoe, doing this, doing that, and we love it. We blast it. We love it. While at the same time saying R. Kelly's a monster. Okay, but Tekashi's a murderer.
Yeah.
Like, but this person's a murderer. But this person's a killer. This person's a molester.
So, like, let me ask you a question. Because we got to wrap up the show, but I want to know, in your opinion, what do you think is going to happen at this point? Like, and then the other thing is, he's trying to argue and sue Lifetime for slander. Nah, bro. no, boo boo. You don't get to sue for slander. Like, it's not slander when it's true. So,
right.
I'm like, how do you even combat a 6-part miniseries talking about how bad you are as a person? Where do you begin to combat that? Like, how do you argue that? You can't. Because everything they're talking about is true. Like, what's the other side to this story? You didn't lock them in the room and tell them they couldn't eat. You fed them food and they just wouldn't eat. Like, what's the other side of the story? You know what I mean? Like, so what do you think is going to be the outcome at the end of the day for R. Kelly? Do you think he's going to be in a jail cell next to Bill Cosby? Or is he going to skirt justice once more?
Well, so here's the thing. We've seen, you know, doing research for the show, we've seen some of it already start. People have watched the show, watched the documentary because of the uproar on the internet. Chicago has started an investigation on R. Kelly.
Yeah.
You know, I think I was seeing something about the girl Dominique.
I don't know why they're starting it and it's not finished already.
But the girl whose mom saw her on Team Z and then went out to LA to get her, Dominique.
Yeah.
I wonder, why aren't the police talking to her and getting some kind of testimony from her so that they can get a warrant to go search his compound? Because she's the one who said the girl Azrael, well, I think I'm saying her name right. She said she'd been wanting to leave for a long time. And that's why her parents ended up going out there. So if she can attest to the fact that there are girls there being held up against their will, that's a crime, regardless of how old they are.
But that's the thing. You can't get them because the girls are so brainwashed. Remember when they did the video and you could see the people in the background doing this on her?
But wait a minute. But you can't investigate Stockholm Syndrome?
You can, but I mean, if
they bombed the movie people, and they went into Jim Jones for the same reason.
You can go after
somebody who's brainwashing people.
You can go after somebody who's brainwashed people. You can try to, but if no victims are willing to step forward to say, yeah, he actually did it, then you don't really have. It's you versus them, and he's going to win again.
But none of the
girls want to talk out against him.
But there are victims that are stepping forward, right?
Well, now I think there are. Maybe
there's girls that have testified. I mean, this girl that was on the documentary he was watching that talked about what he did, how he did it, who he did it with, the fact that there were other girls, all kinds of stuff. So I don't understand what are you talking about?
So do these girls have immunity? Because they're talking about they're having sex with minors, too, because they're talking about the threesomes they had with these young girls. And it's like, so, y'all guilty, too. How does that work? You know what I mean? Like, are you incriminating yourself? Like, did you get immunity when you did this? Because technically, you're guilty, too.
Yo, and the one girl said something in passing, like, at the end of the documentary that killed me.
What?
She was like, I'm happy that I'm finally free and I don't have to accept his money anymore to keep my mouth shut.
I heard that. I was like, oh, okay.
Wait, like, what? Like, what do you mean? So you've been collecting money from this man to keep your mouth shut this long.
True.
Like, really? Like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, to me, she seemed like the most confused one and the most backwards one out of all of it. Because at the very beginning of the documentary, the very, 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 very beginning, they asked her about his abuse. And she bust out crying, walked off the set. She couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But then you saw her talk about the abuse. Talk about her own abuse, talk about the situation as casual as we're having this conversation right now. And again, I'll go back to the fact that I'm a man. I can't say what Stockholm Syndrome looks like, what being in love and being all head over heels for some man or something like that looks like. I can't say that. But I'm going to tell you my opinion, and from looking at that situation is sketchy. That seems just as sketchy as his ex-wife, Andrea, who is currently all over social media singing his praises. It's killing me. I think I sent you a couple of those videos.
Yeah, and I really want to dive into that. We're out of time, and I really want to dive into how weird her whole situation was. But we don't have time. But, I do want to revisit this, though, because I feel like even though it's not going to be a trending topic for a long time, I do think it's going to come back up as they sort of bring charges against him and he starts going back to court and things start happening. It's going to be in the news again. So I feel like maybe that's something we can table and bring back on the next episode we can talk about. Or we could just do a side video where we talk about how weird it is that she's on social media singing his praises now when she was on the video crying, talking about he won't hold himself accountable. Now all of a sudden, everything's hunky-dory. But right. I want to
visit crying
that.
About, oh, I'm doing this by myself. I got my kids. And then I'm looking at the video on Facebook. Yeah. He did nothing. Through all that turmoil, he took care of his kids. Like, huh? What? Wait a minute. Huh?
Yeah.
I
don't know, man. She's all over the place. But, yeah, I mean, we can revisit that.
And I heard somewhere, and quote me on this, I heard it somewhere, that the documentary was her idea. She produced it. But guess who paid for it?
Who?
R. Kelly.
Stop it. No. I can't. That's another level of stupidity that I just can't get behind. Like, I can't. I'm sorry. That's the straw that broke the camel's back for me. I'm done. Like, no. Nah. I can't believe that.
And I drop the mic and walk away.
And he's suing for slander after all that. No. I got to fact check that. Because if that's really the case, I'm going to have a whole tantrum. And I'm going to do a whole video by myself about how stupid this whole situation is. I'm going to look it up.
Stay
that's crazy.
Woke, people. Stay woke.
Stay woke. Some of them folks need to go the heck back to sleep. Like, y'all doing the utmost in these streets right now. Like, come on, man. Like, that's crazy. Nah, I can't. I refuse to believe that. I'm sorry. Anyway, T, where can they find you and follow you?
Who is Tommy Flame? Everything. Actually, you know what? No, I don't. Don't find me. I don't want nobody sending me no hate mail tonight. I ain't
anybody sending you no hate mail? We got nothing but praises for this conversation because we talking the truth.
Who is Tommy Flame on all forms of social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Google me, hit the hashtag, I'm around. Mm. I'm around. Being a phenomenal father as I can, trying to keep her off the stripper pole. So
my job is to keep her off the pole. So you can find me at @just_jams on Instagram, also Jamie Jam on Facebook. Shout out to the folks that chimed in on the conversation tonight on Facebook Live. I appreciate y'all. We are going to come back because there are some more topics relating to this that we want to get into. So we're going to be back again at some point in time to revisit. So make sure you keep it locked. Shout out to a sponsor for the show tonight, Trendy Trippin'. Again, Brooklyn Collective. They talk about all the creative things that Brooklyn is doing. So if you get the opportunity to be in the greater New York City area, come check out Brooklyn Commons. Get familiar. They're really dope. The girl Joanne is amazing, and she's a really, really good person to have in your corner, especially if you're trying to have events and do things like that. So all my entrepreneurs and my networkers, hit her up. The Brooklyn Commons is an amazing event space for you to have your event at. They got rooftops and everything for you to meet on. So check them out at Trendy Trippin' on Instagram. Shout out to the folks behind the scenes that make WJMS and We Out Here Radio possible. We appreciate you guys, of course. Sorry for the phone line technical difficulties. I promise someday I'll get it together, but it's not my fault. In my honest opinion, it's not me. I be trying. So whatever. But we'll be back again next week with a brand new episode. Make sure you keep it locked. T, you got a shout out? What you got?
Yeah, shout out to Chase the Green Low Life. Homie Imani just dropped the 30s project on Tidal, Apple Music, and all that. It's an amazing project. I'm going to be working with this artist over the spring and the summertime, possibly doing a tour, dropping another project. So stay tuned. Chase the Green, Low Life. It's the future. It's the movement.
Cool. Oh, and just a quick little heads up to me. I'm so excited. I get to talk to a group of Girl Scouts on Sunday. I'm so OD hype about this. Like, we're going to talk about media and radio. And I'm like, yes. The lady reached out to me and was like, I want you to come and talk to my Girl Scout troop. And I was like, say no more, fam. Like, time and date. I'm there for sure. So, folks, if you
stay away from guys like R. Kelly,
yeah,
too.
Stay away from him. But, folks, if you want to have me or any of my hosts come and talk to your kids in your schools and your places, whatever you got, let me know. I am more than happy to come and speak to the kids. You know Jamie Little Kids. So make sure you reach out to me and let me know. I got some things in the works, of course. So, again, thanks to all the folks that tuned in tonight. Thank you for your conversation, of course. T, hit him with the phrase.
We out here.
I know you've been hurt by someone else. I could tell by the way you carry yourself. love, then I've lost. I've asked about you and they told me things, but my mind didn't change it. I still feel the same. What's a life with no fun? Please don't be so ashamed. I've had mine, you've had yours. We both know, we know. They won't get you like I will. My only wish is I die real, cause that truth hurts and those lies heal. And you can't sleep thinking that he lies still, so you cry still, tears all in a pillowcase. Big girl dog, get a little taste, pushing me away so I give her space, dealing with a heart that I didn't break. I'll be there for you, I would care for you, I keep thinking you just don't know. Trying to run from that, say you're done with that, on your face girl it just don't show. When you're ready, just say you're ready, when all the baggage just ain't as heavy. And the party's over, just don't forget me, we'll change the pace and we'll just go slow. You won't ever have to worry, you won't ever have to hide. Seen all my mistakes, so look me in my eyes. Cause if you let me, here's what I'll do, I'll take care of you. I've loved and I've lost.
In the club one time, also convinced that you're following your heart, cause your mind don't control what it does sometimes. We all have our nights though, don't be so ashamed. I've had mine, you've had yours, we both know, we know. You hate being alone when you ain't the only one. You hate the fact that you bought the dream when they sold you one. And you love your friends, but somebody should've told you something to save you. Instead they say,
for listening. Tune in 24/7 at WJMSradio.com.